Good morning. It is good to be with you this morning. It's nice to be back. Last week was a good week, being able to be in Branson. I again would thank the elders for allowing me to be there. Thank you to Brad and to Jordan and Brian for teaching class and for preaching last week. Appreciate them very much and thankful as always. And I think we take this at times for granted. So thankful to be a part of a congregation where we have men able and willing to get up in pulpits and to preach, to stand before Bible classes and to teach Bible classes. And this is, it again, a congregation that's so thankful to be a part of because of those that are willing to be preachers and teachers and those that are willing to get outside of their comfort zones, including those women who teach our kids in the Bible class. It's just an incredible, incredible congregation to get to be a part of. And so very thankful for you all. This morning, I'd ask you to open your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 20. We'll be there in just a moment. Leviticus chapter 20. We do have one birthday we get to celebrate this week, and we actually get to celebrate it today. And so please make sure that you wish Dorothy Grisham a happy birthday for today. Today is her birthday. As you can tell, my voice is not 100% back. I still have a cough, and I will continue to try not to get too excited so that we don't have a coughing fit. But it's on the downhill side. I can at least tell you that. But thankful again to be here and back this morning. When I was a kid, my mom got this idea that she would be able to hide nutritious foods within other foods and pass them off. She especially liked to do this with things like meatloaf. Her meatloaf didn't have green stuff in it unless it had turned normally, and we weren't going to eat it at that point in time. But I can remember the first time that Mom had this brilliant idea that she'd gotten from somebody else, that she could hide something that was good for us that maybe would not normally appear on our plates without complaint. She had this mischievous look on her face. So she cuts into this meatloaf and it's put on our plates. And my brother and I look down at our plate and we look at each other. And I looked at Dad and I said, "What?" He said, "Just shut up and eat it." I didn't want to. But Mom thought she was pretty sly, and it was spinach. Okay, I'll eat spinach in salads and things now, but at that point in time, I didn't want to eat spinach regardless of what Popeye the Sailor said. I didn't want it. I didn't want to have it. And while I knew that that was good for me and that we did do what Dad said, that we just closed our mouths and ate it, and you know, you couldn't tell it was there. The thing is today, there are a lot of things that are being slid into our lives that are not good for us, not nutritious in any way, shape, or form. But what it's causing is us to become desensitized to sin. Now, there are times when it speaks loudly and when it's easy to see. This month, for instance, is a month that if you turn on, for instance, we were in Branson, turned on a television program to see what was on. We pulled up this subscription that we have, and there across the page was a banner that had Pride Collection and all of these different things for Pride Month come up for us to be able to watch and to look at, and they're doing it in very subtle ways. The devil is busy. And what he's coming after, specifically, are children and their souls. Here in Leviticus chapter 20, I want you to notice with me, there's a lot of different things in this. This is penalties for breaking the laws God gives. But I want you to notice verse number 13. Verse 13 of Leviticus chapter 20 says, "If a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." This month is what the world wants to really force, but it's not just this month, is it? It's all the time that this is an agenda that is constantly pushed. You can't turn on a television show, a commercial anymore, kids' shows, kids' movies, all of this agenda to be paraded proudly, to bring out. And again, I say the devil is busy and he's coming after our souls because this is exactly what he wants. A little bit here, a little bit there. We're not going to go blasting this as of yet. We just have subtly slid this in to the point that we get to where we're at now, where homosexuality is something that is rampant. It's through everything that we see. It's in everything that we see. And it's causing especially our children to be desensitized. And unfortunately, I think we're becoming that same way. I want you to look with me at Romans chapter 1. Notice what the Apostle Paul says. So I want you to understand, we went back to the Old Testament. We go farther. We go back to Genesis chapters 18 and 19 and look at the end of chapter 18 where God has told Abraham that he is going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah for their corruption and the things that have come up before him. And Abraham starts with 50, gets all the way down to 10 people, 10 righteous. Were there 10 righteous? No, there weren't. In fact, all we see is God calls him righteous, Lot, more than one place. Lot and his two daughters, his wife, as they get out, his wife turns, looks back, turns into a pillar of salt. Based on the corruption, the Bible tells us that Lot, his soul was vexed daily, being in the condition and environment that he was in. When we think about the world that we live in today, when we see the sin, when we see the things that are put out there for us and our children and for Christians to have to deal with, does it vex our souls? Or is it something that we begin to just kind of shrug at and say, oh, it's just our society. It's just the way that it is now. Notice what Paul writes here in Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse number 24. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. There, to me, in verse 32, is one of the scariest things that we see in Scripture. We have those, and notice here, homosexuality is described here by Paul as unnatural. It goes against what is natural, giving up the things that are the natural. God, in Genesis chapter 2, established, gave that institution of marriage, one man and one woman, that they would leave and cleave to one another. They would be joined for life. And Jesus, in Matthew chapter 19, they would go back to try to trip him up, and he would say, from the beginning, it was not the way that it is and was in their day, that they could just give a certificate of divorce for whatever reason. Jesus goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 2 to show from the beginning marriage was between a man and a woman, period. That they were to cleave to one another. That they were to leave home. They were to leave father and mother. They were to be joined together. When we think about the families here, think about your own family. We have a lot of young couples with young families. And you think about the fact that you have left behind mom and dad and that shelter of the home that you grew up in, have come together, and now you have families of your own, and your children are growing up in that same type of shelter, that same type of environment, with a mother and a father who love one another, are there for one another. When we think about the roles that we have and the responsibilities that we have to be able to help them, protect them, show them what is out there in the world, to help them understand what God would have them to do. That's the responsibility that we have today. When we stop and think about here, as Paul writes, what is the devil busy doing? What is he busy trying to get to happen? I'll put a little bit of it here, and we'll dash a little bit of it there, and we'll put a little bit more of it over here. Why? So that I can desensitize you to these things, so that you will become accepting and you will become approving. And we get to that point to where we say, it's just them. It's just their lifestyle. And we're not going to interfere there. Brethren, we can't become those type of people who become so desensitized to these things that we stop doing what the Bible tells us to do. Notice that God gave them over to these passions. He allows us to have free will to make those decisions and those choices. He said this is a debased mind. This is one that is not founded on doing godly things, to being moral. Notice one of those things we see here in verse 30 is that they are proud, meaning that I'm going to flaunt whoever I am and decide to be, even in the face of God, because they don't love God. Notice here, they're haters of God. They're violent. They're proud. They're backbiters. They're gossips, murderers. All of these things are things that are practiced, and they're not ashamed of hiding them. They're not ashamed of getting them out there. Right now in our society, sin has become bolder and bolder and bolder. It is out in the forefront. I'll tell you, the first time, a couple of years ago, we pulled into Happy Hollow after they had redone a bunch of stuff, including the children's play area. There's a swing set there. And that swing set is bright purple, and it's got rainbows all over it. And I looked at that, and I thought, why would you have such a thing here? And I stopped and I said, well, because that's the greatest promise that God ever made. Why wouldn't you have that here? But you know, my mind didn't go there first. I'm ashamed to tell you that. But it was not the first place that my mind went. The first place that my mind went was that, great, we're flying pride flags at camp. Bible camp. It's not got anything to do with what the devil would have us to do. But do you understand how subtly that becomes what we think of first? The first thing that we see. The first thing that we think of. We see that sign in the heavens. You know, not one time have I ever looked at a rainbow in the heavens and thought of anything ungodly. Not one time. I've seen that rainbow in the heavens my entire life. And every single time that I see it, it brings a smile to my face, because I know that that's a promise that God has made. That's what God has promised. And here lately, we've gotten a lot of rain, right? And we get to see some flooding and water being outside of river banks and creek banks, and it's come outside of even the lake, what we normally think of as the banks. And it puts a smile on my face, because not long ago waters were drying up all over the place. Ponds are filling back up. But he's not going to flood the earth the way that he did. That's the promise that he made. We have to look at our society and our lives
and understand we are called to be separate. We are called to be different. We are called not to be those who would approve of such things. Verse 32 of Romans 1 is a powerful verse in that if you and I try to just turn a blind eye and not say or do anything, do you understand what we're doing? God says that there you're showing approval. What happens? Look at verse 32. Who? Knowing the righteous judgment of God. We know it? Yeah, we know it. And we pray that we will receive that judgment according to our lives, that we will be able to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We know His judgment, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Not just the physical death we read about in Leviticus 20, but this is eternal condemnation that we're talking about. And that eternal condemnation, it's not only for those who do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. You can't show approval. Can't help them to feel comfortable in that type of lifestyle. You may say, "Well, Corey, you don't understand." I do understand. I lost an aunt who was gay. I have a cousin who currently practices such things. We've had multiple conversations. Multiple. He knows I do not approve at all of his lifestyle, the things that he does. He knows that he's not going to be able to have an influence on my kids because I'm not going to have and allow that influence in their life. Brother, we've got to stand up for what God would have us to do. We can't approve of such things and just say, "Well, that's who they are." No, it's not. I want you to look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we'll see the responsibility that you and I have. Not just not to be approving. It doesn't mean that we don't love them. We get to show them love. I want you to notice here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 9, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you." But, it's a beautiful word. In contrast, all those who will not inherit the kingdom of God. "But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." You notice what he's saying there? You were a practicer of all of these things that would keep you out of heaven. Brethren, I will tell you, I can go in this list and I can see the things that I have practiced in my life. Those things that would have kept me out of heaven. Those things that God says here, those that practice and do such things will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. These are things that in my past, in my life at times, I practiced. We have to change. And that's what they did in verse number 11. "But you were washed. But you were sanctified, set apart." That washing and baptism set them apart, justified, made them right in the eyes of God. Notice that we know in Romans 1 and verse 32, God's righteous judgment, that He judges righteously. In order for us to be right with Him, we have to put off those things that would keep us out of heaven, no longer practicing those things. Do you understand that we can be forgiven of all of those things, that those who practice such things can be forgiven, that they can change? That's what repentance is. No longer are they that same person anymore. We can help them see that this is a lifestyle they can come out of, because we all know the lifestyles and the sins that we have practiced in our lives that we no longer practice and put into practice any longer. Those things that we now no longer do because we changed.
2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 9 through 11
tells us about that godly sorrow. The two types of sorrow that we see.
Notice what Paul writes there in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning in verse 9. Now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. For observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner. What diligence it produced in you. What clearing of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what vindication. In all things you proved yourselves to be clear in this matter.
You know, it's the same thing that happens in every sin that we have committed when we have godly sorrow. Notice what takes place. The result of that godly sorrow is seen so clearly in verse number 11. And now there is a diligence it produced. Not to do those things that were ungodly, but to do the things that are godly. You have a clearing, that washing, the clearing of yourselves. Those things no longer held to your account. But instead, what is seen is that righteousness, the godliness that is now shown. That indignation and what fear, that vehement desire and zeal to live a godly life. For others to be able to see that in you. You know, the thing is, when you think about this, somebody practices homosexuality, you know it? It's clear. It's just as clear when we don't. When we practice sin, it's clear. It's just as clear when we don't. People can see in our lives the change that has taken place. They can see in our lives that we have changed and we have that zeal to live a godly life. That zealousness to live for Him. These are things that we get to practice, things that we get to demonstrate and to show. Look with me at Romans chapter 6. Paul writes this better than I could explain. Romans chapter 6. We're going to go down to verse number 15. Romans 6, beginning in verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine from which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you have become slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms, because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have put your fruit to holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. People can see in our lives the things that we practice and whose slave we are. If we practice sin, we are a slave of sin. When we practice what is righteous, what is godly, and those things are put into our life, that's the example that those around us get to see. And they see that we are a slave of God, a slave of righteousness, that our actions produce holiness, righteousness, godliness, those things that God would have us to be demonstrating. The thing about each of us, we can look at Romans 3:23 to see that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But we don't have to stay there. Yes, the wages of sin is death. But in contrast to that, in verse 23 here of Romans 6, the gift of God, or the free gift of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. People can see us demonstrating those things, whether they are sinful or godly. Which do we want to show? We want to help all people to come out of that sinful life that they live. To understand that every single sin. Think about this. You go back to chapter 6 and back up there to verses 9 through 11. And you think about all the things that they used to do. Those things that they used to practice. In 1 Corinthians 6. Every single one of those things listed can be forgiven. All of them. There's not a sin you and I can commit today that we can't be forgiven of. We have the opportunity to be forgiven of those things if we will repent, if we will follow what God would have us to do. You see, that's why it's so vital that we help our kids to see that these things are not okay. These things are not okay for us to practice. These things are not okay for us to do. It's not okay for anybody to do those things. But when we do those things, we have the ability to be forgiven of them. And we can help them to see and to understand that it's not a thing where we go about shunning people. But rather, we get to help them to see and to understand what they can do to be right with God. They get to make the decision whether or not they will follow it. But we get to help them see what God can do for them. What God has done in sending His Son to die for them on the cross. That's where that free gift of God is seen in Christ Jesus our Lord. We were washed in His blood. We get to rise to walk in newness of life, be faithful unto death, so that we can live with Him eternally in heaven. Our lives change. We have to show and demonstrate that change. They need to see it in us. We've got to see and help the world and those who are around us to understand there's not anything they can do that God can't forgive. I don't appreciate agendas and those things being shoved down my kid's throat, but at the same time, as a parent, it gives me the opportunity to be able to speak to those things and speak against those things and show them not from my opinion, but from what the Bible says. Show them what God would have them to do. Show them what God would have them to say. Show them what God would have them to live, to be that example, to help them see and understand that this is what you can do to help somebody change their life so that they can go to heaven. You see, it's one thing to speak out against these things, and absolutely we should. But brethren, we've got to help them to see and understand that God, because of His mercy and His love, because of the grace that He demonstrates, we can help people to see and understand they can change and come to God. He will forgive those sins, and they can have that opportunity to live with Him in heaven. You see, while we have those opportunities, let us speak against sin. But let us also be those who practice things that are righteous so that we can help those around us to be able to go to heaven. This morning, I would have you look at your life for just a moment. Are there things in your life that you're practicing and doing that would keep you from being able to go to heaven? That would keep you from being able to spend eternity in heaven with God? If there are things that you are practicing, then won't you take care of those today? If we can help you do that, we want to help you to do that. Perhaps it's to become a child of God, to have those sins washed away, and baptize you into Christ, where His blood washes away your sins, and you rise to walk in newness of life, to be faithful to Him unto death. Or as a child of God, if there are things in your life that you have been doing that need to be changed, and we can help you, we can pray for you, that we can be there, that support system that you need us to be. If we can help you in any way, we'd ask you to come now as together we stand and sing the song. It's been selected.